As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canadians get it in over the line, into the corner, off a stick stolen by Hyman. Leafs counterattacking with some numbers as they get in over the line. Hyman trying to drive the net, now looks with a drop pass. Shot, scores! Morgan Rielly jumping into the rush. There were numbers involved, and again, a shorthanded goal has elevated the Leafs into a two-goal lead.
Dress rehearsal complete. The Maple Leafs now look forward to their play-in series matchup with the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, happy to be back with you here at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Josh Santos, and Danielle Furtado for their hard work behind the scenes and their lone exhibition game. The Maple Leafs doubling up the Montreal Canadiens 4-2. The rival Habs take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. And of course, Toronto taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. All gets going for real for the Maple Leafs on Sunday. But all in all, not too shabby, was it, Gord?
No, nice night on the Fan. A Toronto Blue Jays win over Washington Nationals. And then the Leafs exhibition game win against Montreal. Boy, different storylines. Who would have predicted two shorthanded goals for the Leafs? Montreal had only given up five shorthanded goals in 71 games before the pause. But I like the energy. I like the way both teams came out. It wasn't boring. It was a little sloppy at times, but I like the Leafs skating. I like that there were, you know, a decent number of chances both ways. And a lot of positives, especially when we're talking about secondary scoring being a real concern for the Leafs at the time of the pause. And I know Nick Robertson didn't play a ton in the third period because when the Leafs were shorthanded, Kapanen and Kerfoot were seeing a lot of PK time, but you had to certainly like the way that line played.
No doubt about it. And in general, I think Sheldon Keefe and company and the coaching staff will be pleased with the performance as the Maple Leafs again get set to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets with game one slated for Sunday night, a game you can hear right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Again, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Happy to be back here on Leafs Nation post-game, breaking down this 4-2 exhibition game victory, getting you set for the Stanley Cup qualifiers as well. And no doubt that was a big conversation, Gord, coming into this game. Nick Robertson, he played 10-20. Had an assist, and I still have no idea which way I'm going to lean in terms of if he's on the roster come opening night against Columbus. So what does your gut tell you?
Well, I mean, he will be on the roster. Will he be in the lineup that night?
Yeah.
And you spelled it out well that it seems to be two out of three guys, Engvall, Gauthier, and Nick Robertson. And I'm getting the feeling that they'll put him out there. Just get him in a game really early, see what he can do, get him, you know, that flavor. I think it's probably good there's no crowd in the stands for that. And I just think the lines he played tonight will be what he'll play in game number one, and then he'll go from there. You know, one other one, just I like this because, like I said, I always like doing this. It's the walk to the subway.
We got to rebrand this store, Gordo, because we can't. There's nobody really walking to the subway,
well,
is there?
I know. You got the subway to yourself, really. You're not. Yeah. There's nobody in the building. Then you have the subway to yourself almost. But the real key thing, and you saw Shea Weber getting a ton of ice time, same with Jeff Petrie. Montreal's going to have to really rely on those guys against Pittsburgh. But Morgan Rielly never seemed 100% the Morgan Rielly we saw the previous year. And we know he had an injury where he missed significant games, but even the games he was healthy, he was taking a lot of maintenance days. And, man, I love the way that Morgan Rielly jumping in the rush, creating things, one goal, two assists, and really showing a lot of the Morgan Rielly that we saw more 2 years ago. So in the playoffs, to get, particularly against Seth Jones and Zach Werenski and a pretty good Columbus Blue Jacket decor, if he could chew up, you know, 25 minutes and play the way he did, and less Martin Marincin, for example, and others, then that's going to be huge. That to me was my biggest takeaway, was the way Morgan Rielly played tonight.
And speaking of chewing, Gord, as I broke on Twitter, he's a new dog dad, is Morgan Rielly. And the only reason why I know this is because I believe he sort of lives in the same area. I've seen him at the dog park a couple times now with a highly publicized girlfriend as well, Tessa Virtue. So I think you're right in bringing that up, though, Gord, because it's so easy to mention Morgan Rielly and say, hey, this guy is a ultimate X factor, but he truly is. And I just don't think he was healthy. And you hate to say it, especially in the midst of a pandemic, but I think the time off could have actually been good news for Morgan Riley. Comes back, plays the one game after the injury, but just resetting mentally, I think, was pivotal for this player. And I thought he was flying in this one. I know it's just a exhibition game, but to have him in the right mindset for the Stanley Cup playoffs is big news for me.
Yeah, and Nick, there's the obvious injuries we know about throughout the league. And, you know, whether it's Jake Guentzel coming back from Pittsburgh, Seth Jones for Columbus, and on, Tarasenko for the St. Louis Blues. But there's others that were really beat up and were keeping it quiet that just valued as much as those that were hurt and on the injured reserve list. So, and the mental part as well. When you're playing hurt all the time, you know, you're right about that. And that's what remains to be seen about the 24 teams, about the level of commit factor mentally and physically the players did during the pause. Because if they took a real pause, they're a little bit behind trying to get going, and they probably want to believe they're there, but they're not there. And that's what teams are going to have to identify. The coaches are going to have to identify. The leadership group's going to have to identify. It's something that would not be obvious to us from the outside initially, but that's something you're going to have to identify right off the hop in game number one.
No doubt about that. Morgan Riley 1-2 in this game. If you're just tuning in, the Maple Leafs defeating the Montreal Canadiens 4-2 in their lone exhibition game, now gets set to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Maple Leafs again will have home ice advantage. You sort of put that in quotations, but they'll have the last change in game one and game two and game five of their first round play-in series matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets, in which we look forward to bringing you coming up on Sunday night. But Morgan Riley 1-2 in the game again. Nick Robertson, we went through him. And the other sidebar conversation, Gord, that could stem from Robertson and maybe an idea of keeping him in the lineup is igniting the depth scoring. And Alex Kerfoot looked really good in this game. I talked about it on Twitter and also on air during the intermissions, how Kerfoot coming into this game had 2 goals in 19 games in 2020. And again, grain of salt, it is exhibition play, but it's got to do a lot for the confidence to come out and score 2 goals like he did, didn't he?
Yeah, a guy that you're looking to get close to 20 goals. That's what he did in Colorado in 2 years, and he only had 9 in 71 games. And both him and Tyson Barrie never really got going this year after coming over in the trade. And, you know, they gave a pretty good chip up in Nazem Kadri, and particularly the kind of contract Nazem Kadri has. So that was good to see. Again, And again, that's where we go back to why Nick Robertson is getting such a serious look, is they needed to inject more of that offense in those lines. And maybe he's a guy that helped contribute to it, even though one of the goals was shorthanded. That line, that just seemed to have some kind of chemistry. And Alex Kerfoot, he's a bright guy. He's a fast guy. They got a lot of speed. You know, just got to finish it more. And he was able to do that, 2 different kind of goals tonight for Alex Kerfoot.
Gord, by the way, our faithful listeners on Twitter coining it maybe the walk from the patios. What do you think of that?
I like that. You know, we have to do things different in August because it's not the cold. Boy, oh boy, that building is cold too. You come out of that building and, you know, just being by the lake, and we finish late at night like we're doing tonight with Leafs Nation postgame. And I always said that to you. I kind of, you know, Maple Leaf Gardens was a little further north up, and you came out, it was a little bit more of a winter wonderland just down there. It's that windy gray crap that blows at you. I would love to come out from a night like tonight from Scotiabank Arena and hit some kind of patio and another patio. So I like that.
It's funny, Gord, because actually one of our mutual friends, Dave Pagnotta, who took in this game alongside, I think, 20 other media members, don't quote me on that number, around that number, were seated in the 300 level, and he texted me and said, I'm freezing. And it just triggered me, Gord. Remember during the season how cold it is in that press box? And people will laugh. It's an arena. We understand that. But having been to a variety of different press boxes around the league, I can firmly tell you Scotiabank Arena is the coldest, which means probably the ice is really good, right?
Well, yeah, and that's something they're going to do both. And I get it. When you're talking July and August weather, you've got a challenge about making the ice great, even though technology has improved so much by leaps and bounds. So one thing they won't do is open the door. They don't have to. So that'll be a plus. But, you know, people, when we're at the games, you sound like you're whining. And you're not really whining, because people would kill to go to the games. People would kill to do our jobs. But honestly, I mean,
it's
again,
cold.
Not to use the gardens as a barometer, but, you know, all those buildings, you kind of went there and you wore a suit, you wore whatever, and everybody is wearing a winter jacket up in the Scotiabank Arena press box, and that's before the building's probably even colder right now.
Gordon, my transitions are in mid-season form. Speaking of cold, Freddie Anderson, so-so season. He had cold moments, no doubt about that, but potentially heated things up in Arizona during quarantine with Austin Matthews. Makes 28 saves in this exhibition game. Again, his first appearance against Montreal this season. But what are your thoughts on the potential goaltending matchup against Columbus? As we move forward here on Leafs Nation postgame, we will begin to break down that series with Columbus, where we expect it's going to be, yeah, for sure, Freddie Anderson against, I think, Jonas Korpisalo, although many times John Tortorella alluded to he won't announce his starting goalie till I think, August 2nd.
Well, I know the Leafs are happy to be away from the Boston Bruins, and Freddie's happy to be away from Tuukka Rask, who has played just phenomenal against the Leafs in those playoffs. I like the way he played tonight. I use that word deportment a lot because Freddie, if he gets a little antsy, a little fussy, a little animated, then that's not Freddie. Now, I thought tonight he was the cool, calm Freddie Anderson, and there was one graphic that came out. And the old not being being a slow starter, well, that really applied to his first 2 years, where there was a glaring month of October that his numbers were disproportionately worse than than the rest of the season. Last 2 years, he hasn't started all that bad. So for that reputation, it's not been like throughout his career. He's going to have to start like he did the last 2 years because October's not the easing into it phase like it was in other years. So I like the way I really like the way he played tonight. And of course, both teams played their goaltender the whole game. And that's why it shows it's a different kind of exhibition game. It's an exhibition game that matters because basically you're playing what you're going to play for game number one. And you know those guys are going to play all 60 minutes.
And all in all, no doubt many positives to take from this 4-2 exhibition victory here at Scotiabank Arena for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, as we move forward, we'll continue to break down their first-round play-in series matchup with the Columbus Blue Jackets. We hope to hear from the head coach via Zoom, I believe is what they're doing here in this day and age, Sheldon Keefe. We're going to potentially touch base as well with Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. So we have all avenues covered here and so happy to be back here on Leafs Nation postgame. We'll roll on here. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Getting that airborne out at an empty net. Leafs get it ahead. Here's a chance now for Mikheyev. He has an empty net, cuts in front, still has it, and doesn't shoot it. Lets the time run out.
He's satisfied with the goal he scored in the first minute. A great opportunity to add to his total in the final minute of this game, but Mikheyev just runs the clock out, and the Leafs will take the 4-2 lead and move on and get ready for the game against Columbus on Sunday.
Phenomenal once again to hear the great voices of Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph calling this one tonight at Scotiabank Arena. A 4-2 win, the final there for the Maple Leafs against the Montreal Canadiens. I guess nobody told. I guess Ilya Mikheyev hasn't been around long enough to know the semblance of the rivalry between Toronto and Montreal. You have a chance to score that empty netter, you do so, but he didn't. He was a nice guy on the play, and so it was 4-2 instead of 5-2. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame. Here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Again, we hope to hear from some of the players involved in this one, Sheldon Keefe, the head coach, and potentially Chris Johnston as well as we move forward. And first and foremost, Gord, it's just great to see hockey back. You know, as we do this show, as I do it from my condo, you from your home here in Toronto, to be able to watch this Oilers and Flames game while we do this show is a nice little wrinkle as well, isn't it?
Well, I mentioned during one of the intermissions, Nick, that I think the exhibition game was great for us as fans because we really have to get used to, like, wow. And you're right. It's so surreal. And this was, a little germination of an idea way back when between the NHL and NHL Players Association, and a lot of great work went by both sides to make this a reality. So, and you know what? It seems like it's going to work because there's so many doubters and so many people saying, or I should say so many, but a lot of people, it can't work. They'll need a lot of luck. Here's the problems with it. Well, they had over 4,000 COVID tests the week of July 18th to 25th and zero positive results. So they've really, created an environment as airtight as possible. So and when the puck dropped today, you're saying, yeah, wow, it's real NHL hockey. And before the game, they paid tribute to Eddie Shack, which was nice. The teams intermingled, so you were behind, you lined up on the blue line, the two blue lines, and a Leaf was beside a Canadian and so on and so on. That's what Pittsburgh, Philadelphia did as well with all the social media and other elements have been going on the last few months. It's a show of camaraderie. It's a show of support for the those out in the front lines. It's a show of Black Lives Matters. It's a show of a lot of things about that. And, you know, the last few months has been a healthy dose of perspective, I think, Nick, for all our worlds about, you know, our priorities and where they were and maybe where they should be a little bit more given what we've been through.
Solidarity for sure, and I'll never take my job and the sport I cover for granted again, considering, Gord, what we've been through just in general as a human populace for the last 5 months or so. It's so great to have hockey back. By the way, some guy named Connor McDavid just scored on the power play for the Edmonton Oilers. Lather, rinse, repeat for that one. That's a big X factor for Edmonton as they go into their first play-in series matchup against Chicago, owning the first power play unit and the first PK unit in the NHL in the regular season, which seems like 17 years ago. But we'll see how the Canadian teams do that. That's kind of fun too, Gord. I like the fact that we're getting a lot of Canadian teams in the action, six of the seven here in the Stanley Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, Connor McDavid, the former Hart Trophy winner, now the second best player on his team. It's kind of interesting. That Calgary-Winnipeg matchup is going to be a beauty. Vancouver, of course, taking on Minnesota, which will be, the Canucks have just been a pleasant surprise this year as well. We talk about Montreal, they're the underdogs against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then, of course, you mentioned Edmonton. And I never thought, the five-year plan, God, no wonder Ken Holland went there. A five-year plan when you got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I mean, all you had to do was start getting just a half-decent goaltender and go from there. And that's basically what they did, and some pleasant surprises. And Ethan Bear on D and Kyler Yamamoto fitting in the last half quite well.
Scored
up front.
Tonight.
So, yeah. So they got some they got a lot of things going really well. They could be the St. Louis. I mean, they could be the St. Louis Blues this year.
You're right.
The West is the wild, wild West.
And that's a scary thing for me when you look at Edmonton, is I think we're still in general waiting for that signature Connor McDavid moment in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And this guy's going to go down, you know, and I hate to say it already, as one of the best ever if he continues on this trajectory. I mean, he is so above and beyond any player in this league. And of course, his teammate and Leon Draisaitl are right there with him, likely to win the Hart Trophy and the Lindsay Award. But they're missing their signature moments. By the way, there is a bit of a kerfuffle in the Calgary and in Edmonton game. What a shocker there, right? Dating back to the history. So I think of the intensity of the first three games, Edmonton and Calgary, we know those two teams don't like each other. But getting back to the McDavid point, I think I'm really waiting for that signature moment. And it would be tough to play him, especially here in the first round if you're Chicago.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunately, Morgan Riley knows what it's like to be involved in a signature moment of Connor McDavid.
Oh,
and kind of lives in infamy.
Yeah,
well, like Mario Lemieux splitting the D and they make a statue out of it, you know. But
look at Lemieux.
You think of Connor McDavid and this offseason that was unplanned, this pause, they just said they believe he's even brought his game to a next level. There was that great documentary. What a offseason he had last year. I mean, he didn't have knee surgery, which was recommended by majority of doctors, and the rehab he did was unbelievable to come back. So he had to enjoy, if you can enjoy the pause, as far as just being able to be normal again and have a normal offseason that he really expected to have last year before game number 82, a meaningless game when he got hurt in that game against Calgary, which, speak of the Devils, there they are again tonight, the Battle of Alberta.
I would love a Maple Leafs and Edmonton Oilers Stanley Cup final, because more so the hub cities and the involvement there with Edmonton hoisting the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. But far away from that, the Maple Leafs again defeating the Montreal Canadiens 4-2 here in exhibition play. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick on Leafs Nation postgame. So you look at Nick Robertson, 10-20 of ice in this game. Morgan Riley had 1-2. Alex Kerfoot, 2 goals. The other thing that stood out for me as we get closer to the game one against Columbus on Sunday was special teams. Both power plays stunk the joint up in this game, and understandably so, combined 0-9. I guess Montreal was a -2-9 in this game, because that was a big story for me. Two shorthanded goals scored for the Maple Leafs. And I think, you know, they're lucky to have the star power they do and have the ability to run guys out there like Mitch Marner, even Ilya Mikheyev. There are so many depth pieces and guys who can pot some goals, play the PK. I think it's another big-time X factor for this Maple Leafs team, especially against a team like Columbus, where I think they can really take advantage from a special teams point of view.
Yeah, 6 power play goals in their last 15 games before the pause for the Toronto Maple Leafs, so that doesn't cut it. And so many great weapons out there. Of course, they used a defenseman like Mitch Marner at the point, which made them vulnerable one occasion anyway, a pretty good breakaway coming the other way, shorthanded for Montreal. But I like some of the plays they were trying to do. They have, you know, sometimes you think they overhandle the puck, but when it's working, they overhandle the puck with a cause and quite often bury that phenomenal scoring chance. But it's going to have to be better. Results are going to have to be better. It's going to have to click more in the playoffs for sure.
The numbers, by the way, for Columbus as we start to break down this series ahead of game one on Sunday. Columbus's power play 27th in the league. Their PK 12th. But I think, Gordon, we all know what we're going to get here from the Columbus Blue Jackets. In-your-face type style. Get you out of your comfort zone. And I you know, John Tortorella, if there's an X-factor coach in this league, it probably is John Tortorella, just more so that he has two Jack Adams, probably a third on the way for his performance here in the regular season. And rest assured, Gord, we've talked about it for a couple months now leading up to play. The Maple Leafs better be ready, and that starts with game one on Sunday night.
Well, it absolutely does. And I wonder if Josh Anderson, you know, the fact that he got included in the Columbus lineup, that's intriguing that way, you know, about what is going on. But yeah, you just mentioned the special teams there, and there's a great chance for the Maple Leafs to capitalize on a difference in the skill level. And, you know, maybe to the tune of a goal a game that way. And, you know, we will have a lot of time to break. Well, we've had months to break down the Toronto-Columbus rivalry as far as the first series go. Just playing tennis with my buddy Ted Ioano today. You know, we talked about it. We
Shout
played
out,
a whack
Ted.
Of games. Yeah, I always give him a plug because just like you got your certain friends. Like, how often has it been that you've had 4 months or whatever, 3 months, 10 weeks to talk about a matchup?
Too long.
Normally the regular season ends on a Saturday, and then you find out the matchups, and you get about 3 or 4 days before that first game starts. So this one's been, you go over them and over them and over them.
Well, put it this way, people, you know, this thing was so long that there was actually a couple people trying to talk me into taking Montreal over Pittsburgh. That's going to happen in a sweep. Same goes for Chicago and Edmonton. You could never say never. The likelihood of upsets to me in those two series, at least the Montreal one taking place, you never know. But you're right. We've broken down everything already, but we'll continue to do so. And I think that's a big story, too, with Columbus scored. And I think in general, as these teams restart, the fact that, you know, it's unprecedented and sort of ironic, sadly, in these times that we haven't seen teams this healthy, if you can believe it, going into a playoff setting. I don't care if it's an extended playoff the way we're seeing right now with Stanley Cup qualifiers. And certainly Columbus is getting a boatload of players back in their lineup, including Oliver Bjorkstrand and Cam Atkinson in their top six, and the big one on the back end, Seth Jones, to go with Zach Werenski. Nobody seems to know, or it's very, very quiet, but Zach Werenski led the NHL in goal scoring by a blue liner from the back end. So keep that in mind. You know you're going to get a stifling defensive effort from this team. But again, Toronto better be ready because they're going to bring that tenacious style. There's no doubt about that, at least in my mind.
Yeah, Werenski, I think, had 4 goals better than anybody else. I mean, think about Carlson and Roman Josi leading in points, but he was getting the goals.
Kind of
a quiet stat that way. And you mentioned it, and Oliver Bjorkstrand, he's having a real good season. I mean, you know, in the absence of all the guys that left, led by Artemi Panarin, others have had to fill the void, and they've got a little bit more depth that way. Seth Jones, not only is he healthy, but one advantage those guys had, if you were hurt during the pause, you got to train and rehab at the club facility. Well, and that's when a lot of guys were looking for, you know, any chance to skate anywhere. Well, he and others that were, same thing, injured players, they got to rehab and continue on. So that was a big plus.
I missed social media, Gord, because somebody's trying to go at me. Marco's trying to go at me with Connor McDavid saying he's far and away the best player on this planet. He's far and away the best player on the planet, and I stand with that, and I cover the Maple Leafs. But we appreciate all the sentiments on social media for sure, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. Gord, where do you sit on that conversation since we're at it?
What about we're gonna punk other guys about who's the greatest player on the planet?
He said, listening to you and Gordy, great job, but tame it way down when you drop the far and away best player. I love hockey Twitter. It's the best.
Okay, well, I you know, this year, Leon Draisaitl is the likely winner of the Hart Trophy. I think Nathan MacKinnon, could make an argument for him for what he's done for Colorado, but And then, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, you look what he's doing and on and on and on. So, So far and away, I think we're the best Leaf broadcast team. How about that?
I agree. Do that? You're the most professional broadcaster covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll say that. Gord, let's hit the break. It sounds like a producer extraordinaire, Sam McKee, does have Sheldon Keefe for us via Zoom. So can't wait to bring you that for the first time ever here on Leafs Nation postgame. And we hope to link up with Chris Johnson as well, who took in this one at Scotiabank Arena. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick here, the Maple Leafs, defeating the Montreal Canadiens 4-2 in their lone exhibition game. They now get set to host the Columbus Blue Jackets for Game 1 Sunday night at Scotiabank Arena. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. So great to be back with you. The Maple Leafs defeating the Montreal Canadiens 4-2 in their lone prep before their play-in series, five-game series, starts up with the Columbus Blue Jackets coming up on Sunday. I'm just really thrown off by the five-game series and the play-in series, but we look forward to that coming up on Sunday. Of course, we'll have the coverage here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are able to hear from some of the players, but first and foremost, Gord, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Maple Leafs right now. Here's Sheldon Keefe.
Hey, Sheldon, just wondering what your impressions were of Nick Roberts in his first game against NHL players.
I thought he had some great sequences. It was good to see him play with some confidence with the puck and also just move his feet and work. Not sure where his ice time ended up today, but I thought he had some shifts where he was noticeable in a positive way, and that's real good to see.
Next question, Kristen Shilton, TSN.
Sheldon, what do you feel like the team was able to translate well from the camp into the game tonight?
I thought that we moved our feet really well today. Defensively, I thought that was a big thing for us. We want to make sure that we're really working and skating and having urgency coming back to our end. I thought that was a really good sign for our team. There's a number of times we came back, and I thought we gave up the neutral zone at times a little bit too easily, but I liked how we worked and ended up breaking up some plays in around our net because of the work we came back or the work that we had coming back. So that was really good. I have to look at the video a lot closer to really see some of the details, but I thought the work was positive.
Next question, Mark Masters, TSN.
Sheldon, what stood out the most about the environment, the atmosphere, or lack thereof, in coaching in it tonight?
What stood out, I think there was really two different things. First of all, during the anthem was probably the moment where, for me, it was the most noticeable, the fact that there was nobody, no fans in attendance, and have a little moment there. Obviously, during the anthem is a time when, you're looking at the flag and you're kind of taking in the whole environment during that anthem. And of course, it's much different today than what you're accustomed to. It's a time when you really kind of feel the moment and are really missing the fans and the environment and recognize what they bring. Had that little moment, but I thought once the puck dropped, at least from my perspective, it really just felt like hockey, and you didn't really notice it a whole lot. I'm not sure how the players felt about that, but other than when Kerfoot scored his goal and nobody was really sure whether or not it went in the net, and of course just no crowd reaction, that was about the only time that I think there were some comments on the bench that that the fans might have called that one in for us, but otherwise, it surprised me, frankly, just how the game was just being played and didn't really notice all that other stuff.
Next question to Kevin McGrand from the Toronto Star.
Coach, I know Morgan Rielly played through a lot of injuries this year, and then he missed a big chunk of the season. What does having him back healthy, he looked like he skated as well as he ever has tonight, what does he back healthy mean to you and your team?
Yeah, it means a lot. And I think that's a good observation. I think he did really skate very well today. I think, yeah, there's a couple of times the puck kind of bobbled on him and got away from him and things like that. But Mo's at his best when he's flying up the rink and he's joining the rush and he's playing with authority and talking to him. He's feeling as good as he's felt from a health standpoint. And he looked at today with how he skated. He got rewarded, you know, with the goal. And that's great to see. And I think, you know, if you're looking at what you would want to come out of this game for someone like Mo, it's the confidence to be up in skating and kind of pushing the pace with the way that he moves and joins the rush. And then also to have the reward of the goal is a really positive thing for him and us.
Maple Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe following this 4-2 exhibition win against the Montreal Canadiens. We've got to duck out a bit early because we're so happy to bring in the pride of Cobourg right now of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It is so great to be back with Chris Johnson after a long, long period of time. CJ, great to be with you. What was that experience like for you tonight?
Truly bizarre, honestly. I don't know that I could have the vocabulary to express how weird it is to be in an NHL arena as one of maybe 200 people that are in that arena, or maybe a little bit more than that, but I wouldn't imagine it's more than 300 or 400, watching game and to have it be in July 28th in this strange year and to have it be a few days before the playoff tournament resumes. I mean, it's just the collision of events that I couldn't have imagined ever happening. So, you know, it was refreshing and fun to be back in here. It's nice to have, you know, hockey to talk about again instead of everything else that's kind of consumed us the last few months. But, you know, yeah, I couldn't quite get away from the fact that was one of the stranger things I've ever witnessed in an NHL arena.
And CJ, I mentioned it to you before, you and Elliot Friedman, great work on behalf of Rogers and Sportsnet covering everything over the last number of months. So it is nice seeing the actual stuff on the ice. I'm wondering, no crowd, might it help a type of team compared to another, like, you know, even the Toronto Maple Leafs, the pressure of having to win a playoff series and when the crowd gets at them, and maybe a Nazem Kadri in Colorado that trying to keep it cool this year, maybe no fans around helps him.
I'm sure it'll benefit someone. You know, I can't frame for you exactly what it'll be. I mean, because to me, it goes so much more than the crowd. I mean, just everything about this is kind of bizarre. Obviously, you know, I think my own sort of working theory is that it might benefit younger teams, you know, teams that have fewer players that are used to ingrained in specific routines and are constantly comparing everything to what should be. And just, you know, any group that can kind of go with the flow, I think will thrive under these conditions. I mean, everything from when they arrive at the rink, you know, obviously players, especially those, you know, playing at home, there's a real range of times that guys like to come to the arena. Well, you know, the way this works now is you have to arrive as a team at a specific time as set out by the NHL. You know, once you get here, if you're the Leafs, you know, tonight they dress in the visiting room, and, you know, some nights they'll be dressing in the media room or the Toronto Raptors room. You know, then you get into the environment where there's no fans. I mean, the whole thing is a little bizarre. You know, so I can't really tell you who it's going to favor. I do think as we go along, though, we'll probably get a better understanding of who that is. And you know, I think if we're talking about Toronto specifically, I do think that they benefit from having so many young, dynamic offensive players, you know, so many guys that I think are hungry to prove something and are likely to be less affected physically by this layoff just because of their age and those types of things. And you know, I think at times we might make too much of a crowd in hockey, but, you know, it's something like this where you go from being used to having 19 or 20,000 people in a building and taking it down to almost zero. I mean, it's just totally different than what we're used to.
Yeah, don't tell Calgary and Edmonton that there's no crowd. There's another after-the-whistle skirmish, James Neal and Matthew Tkachuk involved with Chris Johnson, a 4-2 win here for the Maple Leafs, an exhibition play. They get set for Columbus. Who stood out for you tonight, CJ?
I thought Morgan Rielly was a real positive for the Leafs. You know, and let's not forget that he was never, you know, healthy at any point in the regular season. I think he came into the year with a nagging injury. You know, certainly didn't look himself for the first half of the season. Then he breaks his foot and misses, what, 8 weeks, or give or take, of time. He plays one game before the COVID-19 pause kicks in. And then, you know, it's just been a strange season for him. And I think that layoff has allowed him to rest his body and
and get himself in a good place. He was one of the leads that came back right at the start of the phase two voluntary workout. So he's been skating in Toronto for, 5 weeks before training camp, plus another couple weeks since the camp opened. And I thought that he looked really good tonight. I mean, Kerfoot, it's hard to miss him. To me, it's not just the goals. I mean, the what he brought to the penalty kill was a positive. I thought his line had a couple good moments out there as well. And as much as we're going to focus on the big stars of this team, the guys that soak up the oxygen and make all the money, I think for any team to have a long playoff run, you're going to need some contributions down your lineup. And so, if the Leafs can get a little bit more out of their bottom six than they were before the season was paused, I think that would be, a huge benefit to them, especially with what's to come here and how little margin for error there is in a best of five. And so, the fact that I think Alex Kerfoot, who, had a pretty quiet first season here in Toronto so far, if he's ready to take another step, or, along with Nick Robertson and Kasperi Kapanen, if that line can maybe give them a little bit more offensive punch than Toronto was getting before the break, I think that'll be a huge benefit to trying to get by the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and in Kerfoot's case, because you look at that, I mean, that was a big trade that was made by Kyle Dubas in the offseason. And when you get off to a crappy start, it just sucks for everybody. And guys like Tyson Barrie and Kerfoot, Jason Spezza, well, the same thing. I mean, he already got admonished by the coach in preseason for some reason. It was kind of strange. But, it's like going in a workplace and you get off on the wrong foot and you never get going. And I think Toronto benefited from having the Sheldon Keefe training camp. Any coach that took over midseason, I think that was a luxury. It's certainly a luxury you don't normally get, but it's a good chance for those two guys to get a little bit of a restart and go back to how they wish things had started last October.
Yeah, and I think that's the way anyone that's had a bit of a rocky season should approach this. And Frederik Andersen, I'd lump into that same group. I mean, this was statistically the worst season we've seen from him, guys, as an NHL player. I don't think he was too happy with the way things went. Obviously, when you're the goaltender, I mean, there's a lot of eyes on you when you enter a playoff series. But I think this is a chance for him to kind of hit the reset. And so, if you've had a William Nylander type of year where you've put up some new personal bests and you feel good about it, you're trying to tell yourself that 4 months, 4.5 months didn't do anything to change it. But I think if you're in Tyson Barrie or Alexander Kerfoot or Frederik Andersen's shoes, even Morgan Rielly, just because of his health more than anything, I think you're trying to look at this as something fresh, almost like a new season. And so, there's a lot of opportunity for these guys to put an exclamation mark on the year to more or less, in my eyes, wipe out, our views of them from the months that they did play, just because, what happens from here on out is going to be remembered, I think, far more than the 70 regular season games that were played prior to the COVID pause. And so, it's an interesting time to be around the sport, just with those kind of dynamics at play.
Cautiously optimistic, but we are fired up. CJ, excellent job. Thanks so much for this, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Sounds good, boys.
There you have it. There is Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Gord Stellick, hockey's back, and it feels really good.
Well, it does. And the novelty things for Sheldon Keefe and Chris Johnson, everybody will just get used to it. They'll just get used to it. But it is interesting to hear at first what it's like coaching a team or playing, or in Chris's case and others, covering it. And I see in Edmonton, one of the two hotels, the air conditioning didn't work today. So six of the teams, 32 degrees in Edmonton. So you're talking about this new world hockey order in 2020, and who would think air conditioning not working in a hotel would be a consideration in a Stanley Cup playoffs?
Remarkable, remarkable, remarkable times. It's probably the only word you can use. And I think Sportsnet's so perfect in using the word unpredictable to talk about these Stanley Cup qualifiers and these Stanley Cup playoffs in general. It's going to be so much fun. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We'll wrap things up after this. The Maple Leafs defeating Montreal 4-2. It's onwards and upwards now. We look forward to their play-in series matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Game one coming up on Sunday night. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yeah.
Maple Leafs double up the Montreal Canadiens in exhibition play 4-2, and now we look forward to their first-round play-in series matchup with the Columbus Blue Jackets Game 1 Sunday night. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick back here on Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan at the Gold Muzzy at Gord Stellick if you'd like to share your thoughts on this first-round matchup against Columbus. But something certainly to build off, Gord. I know it was just a preseason game, but we look forward to 5 days from now.
Yeah, I agree with you about something to build off. I think that's a good analogy about it, that it was basically your starting lineup, and there were way more positives than negatives. There was some sloppiness on yep. both sides. Power plays a little sloppy, but I like the compete factor. I like the speed factor. I really like the effort of the Toronto Maple Leaf team as a whole.
So, Gord, you look at this opponent in Columbus. What are your expectations? I know the gamesmanship has already started when it comes to John Tortorella. He's not going to tip his hand as to who's going to start. I'll tip it for him. I think it's going to be Jonas Korpisalo. He's been their guy all season long. He's the man they trusted and the reason why they didn't try to go hard after Sergei Bobrovsky and re-sign him, although he didn't want to re-sign there. Merzlikins comes in. Had a nice cup of tea with Korpisalo sidelined, but Korpisalo's been the guy. I think it's going to be him, and everything stems through the back end on Columbus, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's going to be the Leafs' front end against the Columbus Blue Jackets defense corps, and that's where a guy like Justin Hall, to me, is going to be important, who's had one of the few defensemen who's had a solid season based on his play from years gone by and, you know, really been steady, and those guys are going to be important. When we talk about Tortorella, you know, we saw certainly last year Bruce Cassidy flat out outcoached Mike Babcock. And Bruce Cassidy did a phenomenal job coaching the Boston Bruins, I think, period, the last couple of playoffs. I really like him as a coach. And a lot has been given to the fact that John Tortorella wears a nice, shiny Stanley Cup ring, the experience he has. And the fact is, you know, he's a guy that his players really relate to. He's really, really got a pulse on his players that way. And I agree with all that to a degree, but also, you know, Sheldon Keefe won a very difficult trophy as well. I mean, the Calder Cup, a champion in the American Hockey League, is a difficult trophy to wear, but to win. But I think he'll be up for the challenge. But there's no question, usually experienced coaches have the edge. But we saw that last year, a guy being promoted from within and Craig Berube in St. Louis ultimately hoisted the Stanley Cup.
And in terms of a potential matchup game, again, we look forward to the next couple days. No doubt the questions will continue pertaining to Nick Robertson, played 10-20 in this game. Would he crack your game one roster, Gord?
Yeah, he would. He would. Yeah, and I think, you know, you're looking at Robinson and Foodie probably playing for Columbus. Yes. About the kids, the youth, the speed being really important. And again, you know, we look at it that there's Engvall and Gauthier and Robertson, and probably two of those three can play. So I could see him. I can see him moving parts around a little bit that way, Sheldon Keefe. But it seems that they're sweet on him. They like his offense. They like his effort. They like his speed. So I think he's going to get a chance. But, I mean, it goes down to the big guns again. It's Auston Matthews, Mitch yes. Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares. I mean, those are the guys at the end of the day that give the Maple Leafs the edge, in my opinion, over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You're right, because everybody can talk about Nick Robertson, Gord, and that's great. And I know he was a high, you know, second-round pick a couple years back. He's 18, hasn't played a game in the league. But, you know, rest assured, bottom line, the Maple Leafs, they're going to go as far as their big boys take them, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a whack of exhibition games tomorrow. There's only three on Thursday.
Can't wait.
One of them is Boston and Columbus. So that's one I'm going to watch, catch with interest to see the one exhibition game with the Leafs' upcoming opponents. And we can't wait. You're right about that. I can't wait either, Nick. It's a real pleasure.
I'm going to watch more hockey over the next couple months than I did Netflix over the last 4 months, which is unprecedented if you ask me. Gord, excellent stuff. We'll talk on Sunday, okay?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
There you have it, professional broadcaster extraordinaire Gord Stellick. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Josh Santos, and Danielle Furtado for their hard work behind the scenes. The Maple Leafs defeating Montreal 4-2. We look forward to Game 1 Sunday night against Columbus. Don't you dare miss it. Take care.